Yo, thanks so much for taking time to tune in and listen to the Grizz podcast. Today is Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. I know it's been a while since I have dropped an episode on you guys, but I have been going through a real grind. You know what I'm saying? Real grind, struggle, pain, suffering, whatever you want to call it, man. I won't take time to get into all of it, but I'm having a lot of tests done for my health. I'm going today to get some tests done and started a new protocol for my Lyme disease to help with that. But it's been extremely hard, extremely hard. And as I think about that, I realize that there are many of you who are listening that are also going through an extremely hard time. You're going through the grind right now. And it could be totally different than stuff I'm going through. It could be physical health issues, but it could be mental health issues. It could be emotional. It could be relational. It could be financial. It could be spiritual. I don't know. So in this episode, I want to talk to you about some things I'm learning about walking with God and the grind of life. Here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast, where our mission is to help boys become men and to help men become better men. It's going to be raw, it's going to be real, and it's going to be relevant. Now, here's your host, Jason George.
You know, suffering is everywhere. I think most of you know that, you realize that. Suffering is everywhere. And suffering is unavoidable. It's going to happen. You know that by the time I'm done giving this podcast episode, at least 5 children throughout the world will have died from abuse and violence. By the end of today, over 100 children will have died from abuse and violence. Every hour, thousands will die from cancer. And when they die, hundreds of thousands will learn the hard truth that their family member or friend is suddenly gone from this life. And those people will be devastated and they'll be stricken with horrible grief. Last year, in 2018, there were 9.6 million cancer deaths. This year, in 2019, one of those cancer deaths was my older brother, Mike. Then there are traffic accidents. Every hour, thousands die from traffic accidents. And the same is going to happen to their loved ones. They're going to find out the news and suddenly, they're going to be devastated and stricken with horrible grief. I also learned from the World Health Organization that every 40 seconds, someone in this world is in so much torment, whether physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever, that they commit suicide. And for every one of those who died by suicide, they say that at least 20 people attempted. Over 300 million people in the world suffer from depression. Over 300 million. 264 million people in the world suffer from some sort of anxiety disorder. One out of every 4 people will be affected at some point in their lives by a mental or neurological disorder. Again, suffering is everywhere, and it's unavoidable. It's going to happen to all of us. That's something that I'm coming to terms with as I'm going through incredible suffering in my life right now, more than I've ever been through in my life. If life is going great right now for you, then listen to me. Here's my advice. Walk humbly with God and give thanks for it. Give thanks for every good thing. But know that it won't always be that way. You need to be prepared for that. You need to be prepared for the hurricane, because it's going to come at some point. In some way, you are going to suffer greatly in this life. It may not be the way I'm suffering, but in some way you're going to suffer greatly if you haven't already. In this fallen world that we live in, there is no such thing as a perfect life. Not here, not in this life, not in this body that we have, this mortal fallen body. The perfect life, the perfect body, that's heaven. And remember, that only comes after death for all those who have genuinely placed their heart faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I long for that place. We all do. That place where there's going to be no more suffering. No more suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, this is what God says he's going to do when we enter into that place. He says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Dude, that right there is the best news ever. That's our hope. That's what we're looking forward to, man. That's what we got to keep our eyes on, our focus on. There are so many people, even so many believers in Christ, who are disillusioned. I was one of them, believing that they can and should have all of that, that's really heaven, that they should have all of that in this life, here in this fallen world. And dude, if that's you, I'm here to tell you that you're chasing a mirage. It's never going to happen in this life. This life at various times is going to grind you. So as believers in Christ, we have to learn how to walk with God in the grind of life. Not try to escape from it, avoid it, but to learn how to walk with God in the grind of life. This is something that I'm learning to do. Anyone, listen to me, anyone can be positive, peaceful, joyful, and full of faith when life is going well. Dude, that's easy. I'm not even sure that that is real faith. We don't really come to know if we have real faith until we go through the grind of suffering. That's when the faith that we claim to have is tested. That's what it says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, when you meet the grind. For you know that the testing of your faith produces patience or steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Many people who claim to be believers or followers of Jesus find out that they're not genuine believers or followers of Jesus when their quote-unquote faith is tested by the grind of suffering. Jesus spoke about this fact in one of his parables. Over in Matthew chapter 13, listen to what he says. That same day, Jesus went out of the house, sat beside the sea, and the great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprung up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus goes on to explain this parable to his disciples. I want you to get this. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Did you hear what it said about the seed that fell on the rocky ground? That represents the person who hears the message of the gospel. They immediately receive it with joy, but yet they don't have any root. It doesn't have a root in that person. In other words, it's not a faith that is down deep in the person's heart. It's merely a shallow head faith or an intellectual faith. And at the moment when this guy believed, life was obviously going well for him. He received it with joy. But then the grind of life hit. Suffering hit him. It hit him hard, just like it's going to hit all of us hard. And it says he fell away from the faith that he claimed to have when tribulation and persecution grinded him. Again, as I said, we don't really come to know if we have real faith until we go through the grind of suffering. That's when the faith that we claim to have is tested, and we get to figure out if it's a sham or if it's the real deal. And if you find out that your quote-unquote faith is not the real deal, then that's a good thing. It's a good thing to figure out before you die. If you find out that your faith is a sham, then the best thing you can do is admit it, confess that to God, and ask him to give you a real heart faith in Jesus Christ that can endure through the grind, through the pain, through the doubts, through the fears, through the depression, through whatever this life throws your way. In the grind of suffering, I discovered that my faith in Christ is real, but I also discovered it was not as strong as I thought it was. Yes, I have a real faith, but I have a weak faith. That's what I found out. A weak faith that needed to be purged of so much fake junk. It needed to be purified. It needed to be shaped. It needed to be strengthened. And I am still in the midst of this process. I am still in the furnace. It's not pleasant. Not at all. Daily, I have to pray for God's strength, his peace, his joy, and his perspective through all that I'm going through right now. And I often have to ask my brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for me. My faith needs their faith. I need their prayers. I need their faith. We all need each other's faith and prayers, especially when we're going through the grind of suffering. You know, in Scripture, we're constantly told to pray for one another, to love one another, to comfort one another, to encourage one another, and to bear one another's burdens. If you try to go solo in the grind of suffering, it's going to crush you. It's too much for any of us to bear on our own. I say it all the time. We need God, we need His Word, and we need each other. I feel like I am learning how to walk with God in the grind of suffering. And I've been learning so much as I've been reading through the Psalms again, just praying, thinking, and then also rereading Pastor Tim Keller's book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. Let me leave you with a couple of my favorite highlighted quotes from that book that I went over this morning. No amount of money, power, and planning can prevent bereavement, dire illness, relationship betrayal, financial disaster, or a host of other troubles from entering your life. Human life is fatally fragile and subject to forces beyond our power to manage. Life is tragic. Another one that I really liked is this one. Many people find God through affliction and suffering. They find that adversity moves them toward God rather than away. Troubled times awaken them out of their haunted sleep of spiritual self-sufficiency into a search for the divine. Another one is this one. When pain and suffering come upon us, we finally see not only that we are not in control of our lives, but that we never were. Last quote I'll give you from Keller. Things put into the furnace properly can be shaped, refined, purified, and even beautified. This is a remarkable view of suffering, that if faced and endured with faith, it can, in the end, only make us better, stronger, and more filled with greatness and joy. Suffering, then, actually can use evil against itself. It can thwart the destructive purpose of evil and bring light and life out of darkness and death. You know, Pastor Tim Keller and his wife Kathy, one of the reasons I like him so much is because they're no strangers to the grind of suffering. He writes in his book, "In 2002, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. I went through surgery and treatment. Around the same time, Kathy's Crohn's disease became acute, and she had to undergo numerous surgeries over the next few years. One year, she endured 7 surgeries. At one point, I found myself facing the agonizing possibility that I should leave the pastoral ministry because of my wife's chronic illness. It was the darkest time of our lives so far, and we know for certain from Scripture and experience that there are more dark times to come, and yet also more joy than we can now imagine." I like that, but I don't like that. I like it because it's reality. Tim Keller and his wife have a realistic view of life here in this fallen world with fallen bodies, with fallen people, with fallen minds that are surrounded in the spiritual realm by fallen angels who are just constantly trying to destroy us, to screw things up. They have a realistic view of what's really going on. Hey, if life is going great for you right now, as I said earlier, walk humbly with God. Give thanks for every good thing. But also, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for the grind, the hurricane. It's not if, it's when. You're going to go through some incredible suffering in this life. Nobody gets a free pass on suffering in this life. And I'm having to come to terms with that. To stop any complaining and self-pity. Why me? Woe is me. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, everyone's going to go through something. So Lyme disease, the co-infections, the chronic headaches, or whatever the heck else is going on with me. I'm getting tested this week for parasites now. I know, man. I'm like, what in the... Okay. It's what I'm going through. Like I said earlier, thousands will die this hour from cancer. Hospitals are full of people with cancer. Children's hospitals are full. There's a waiting list. You can't even get an appointment when you want one. You have to wait, even when it's a crisis, even when it's super serious. This is reality. I've got friends who their grind of suffering right now is a premature baby that is hanging on, was hanging on by a thread. By God's grace, looks like the baby is going to pull through. We're all going to go through something. Dear Heavenly Father, help those of us who are in the grind of suffering right now. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would grant us the mercy, the grace, the strength, the peace, the joy, the comfort, and the faith to endure and to suffer well. Use our suffering for your glory, but also for the good of many others. Work all things together for the good, somehow, some way. Our hope is in you, Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the Grizz Podcast, an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated. If this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin, you know what I'm saying.
Echoes in eternity.